Hi, my name is Pete Scazzaro, and I want to welcome you today to the Emotionally Healthy Leader Podcast. And our title and theme here as we close out this very short series on integrity is Climb the Ladder of Integrity, or Climb the Ladder of Integrity. And actually, this comes out of our whole journey into emotionally healthy discipleship in 1996, when Jerry and I had what I like to call our second conversion. We'd become committed followers of Christ when we were in college. We grasped the gospel that Christ had died and risen for us, and we were involved in, you know, the best training in Christian discipleship and eventually started a church here in Queens, New York City, but something was clearly wrong. People were supposedly growing in their love for God, but they weren't growing in their love for people, and we couldn't figure out what the problem was. People with great passion for Christ were still defensive, judgmental, critical, unapproachable, unsafe. We weren't. That included us as well. And even as a pastor, I was well-rooted in the classic Christian disciplines of Scripture and growing in my personal relationship with Jesus, but the people around me weren't necessarily feeling any more loved. And so we hit a wall. Something was problematic in our discipleship. We didn't know what to do with our own anger towards people or circumstances that came to us, and we were afraid of being honest in relationships. I didn't know what to do with difficult topics. I didn't want to hurt people, how to disagree with people. I avoided conflicts. I wanted to be seen as a nice Christian. I wasn't really honest with myself and others, and often said yes when I wanted to say no. And the list goes on. But this missing piece in our spiritual formation or discipleship, we finally came to a head in 1996 and was birthed what we call today emotionally healthy discipleship or emotionally healthy spirituality. And we came to understand that emotional health and spiritual maturity are inseparable, that it's not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature, and that a person can be chronologically 35 or 55 or 75 years old, but actually remain an emotional infant or child in their relationships. And so the issue was, how do you apply Scripture into people's lives and into our own lives? And again, I'd read the Bible, I preached it, but I wrestled with how do you apply it deeply into people, especially in relationships. And so as we launched on this journey, or better said, as God launched us on this journey in 1996, we began to develop some practical tools to apply Scripture. And simple tools that as simple as how do I make a complaint with request for change, or how do I not make assumptions of people? How do I have realistic expectations? How do I speak clearly, respectfully, and honestly? How do I listen? How do I have a clean fight or a clean conflict? And it became a course that a part of the emotionally healthy discipleship course. It became what we call now the emotionally healthy relationships course, part two of the discipleship courses. And it's so core to implementing this radical discipleship paradigm that we finalized it and brought it down to 8 tools or skills that make up this relationships course. And it took us 21 years to do it, actually. But at the core of this, these 8 skills or tools in the relationships course is one called the Ladder of Integrity. And I bring this up here because I think it's so key, or I believe it's so key. It has been for us for the last over 2 decades and for so many others around the world. The use of this tool has helped leaders in particular differentiate, get clear on the inside what's going on, and grow in their integrity as leaders. And so this is a tool, Climb the Ladder of Integrity, that is used when something is bothering you, when you've been experiencing tension with someone or a situation. You find yourself angry, perhaps, or frustrated, or bothered, or hurt. Oftentimes, it has to do with the fact that something important to you, something you value, has been violated. So the purpose of this Ladder of Integrity is to clarify your values by processing what's going on inside of you, your thoughts, your feelings, and if necessary, assert yourself then respectfully. So we see this, for example, in Paul with the Apostle Peter in Galatians chapter 2, when Peter has pulled back from eating with Gentiles and has begun to eat only with Jews in the Galatian church, and Paul actually approaches him and basically says to him, you are violating the integrity of the gospel. Imagine he Paul confronts the leader of the church, Peter, because his own integrity for the Apostle Paul in the gospel was he had to say something to Peter. And imagine if he hadn't, but his own integrity drove him to that. I think of Jesus, too, in John chapter 17. Jesus walked with integrity in the sense that he was the same person on the outside as the inside, but he resisted the pulls and the pressure that were coming to him from others around him. And he's able to say at the end of his life, I've completed the work you have given me to do. He says that he prays to the Father in John 17, 14. So here are some examples of where you might use the ladder of integrity, and I'll explain it in just a few minutes. Imagine that. Let's take first regular examples in life, and then we'll get to some leadership examples after that. So you're at dinner with a friend, for example, and your friend keeps taking phone calls. It's getting to you, but you're not sure whether you have a right to say something. You know, what do you do? Or you have a family member, you're at a gathering, and your family member keeps telling racist jokes, and it bothers you, but you're not sure how to address it. You call your friend, but they never call you. And you say, why does this aggravate me so much? Or a coworker on your staff or team continually talks negatively about another coworker or team member, and you have this growing uneasiness about it. Or you're driving with a friend who is just, you know, taking needless risks in driving, and you have all these conflicting feelings about it, but they're very uncomfortable. Or you're on edge every time you call home to talk to your mother or father, and the way they talk to you disturbs you, but again, you're not sure quite what to do about it. Now, climb the ladder of integrity. The ladder of integrity is meant to help you get honest with yourself and clear about what's going on inside of you. What's the value that I have that perhaps is being violated? And once you identify why something's important to you, then you can take responsibility for it. This means you're going to slow down, you reflect, and you're going to respond based on your values. You're not going to be reactive, and enables you to live with integrity. That's why it's called a ladder of integrity. And what I mean by that is that what's important to you on the inside becomes congruent with how you're living on the outside. So let's just take those examples again. Let's say dinner. Every time you're out to dinner with your friend, they're taking phone calls, and you're frustrated, and normally we say nothing to be nice. Or we say something sarcastic like, oh, nice of you to come back again. No, you'll climb the ladder of integrity, and you'll get in touch with your value of having a relationship where you can give each other your full attention. Or you have a family member who tells racial jokes and it really bothers you. You're not sure what to do about it. So instead of avoiding it or saying nothing or saying something like, what's your problem? You actually climb the ladder and you get clear about your value, about the dignity of all people. And perhaps you approach it that way. Or you call your friend, but your friend never calls you. Instead of deciding, that's it, I'm finished with this friendship, you actually climb the ladder and you get clear on your value that you really value mutual initiative in this particular friendship. It's important to you. Or say you're on edge every time you call home because of the way your mother or father interact with you, and it really bothers you. So instead of making excuses of why you can't visit them anymore or very often, or you climb the ladder and you realize that when they speak to you, your mother or father, your own sense of value and dignity feels, you know, diminished, and you really prefer they would speak to you clearly and respectfully. So you actually take time and you prepare to have a conversation with them. Now, I learned that in order to have a healthy relationship as a leader with the people around me, I've got to be clear and I've got to know my values. And this tool, the ladder of integrity, helps me move towards a healthy integration. A lot of us don't realize how much depression and anxiety stems from living out of a fear of actually expressing ourselves. And very few of us have been taught, how do I discover and uncover my values? The reason this ladder of integrity is so important, because Scripture tells us we're uniquely created in God's image. You have distinct preferences and hopes and dreams and values, and nobody can live your life and express your values for you. Only you can do that. So this ladder is not a conflict resolution tool. That's a different tool called clean fighting. But the purpose of this skill is to clarify what's going on inside of you, so you can identify your values, and then perhaps you'll say something to another person. You may not need to. But it's to help you get clear. So what we do, we developed 12 sentence stems, and it's a ladder. it's in the form of a ladder. And there's something you use or would do in, say, for example, in your own journaling to begin, to get clear. So again, imagine something's really bothering you. It's just, you know, you're up in the middle of the night or it's getting to you and you're like, I don't know what it is or why this is driving me crazy or why this person, I'm so mad at them. And we would encourage you to use the ladder of integrity because it's a great growth tool for you. So here's the 12 sentence stems. I'll go through them one by one. And the first few begin with what's going on inside of me. The second set is what your values are. And the third is your hopes. So it begins with, right now, the issue on my mind is. And it begins to just clarify, what is the issue? And then I'm anxious in talking about this, number two, because, and you get in touch with your anxieties and talking about it. My part in this is, the third. Fourthly is my need in this issue is. Fifthly, my feelings about this are. Sixth, what my reaction tells me about me is. So you're basically before the Lord, you're doing this inner work of what's going on inside of me, my reaction, my feeling, my needs, my anxieties. And then by the seventh stem, you're asking the question of what do I value? And so this sentence stem reads as follows. Number seven, this issue is important to me because I value, and then fill that in, or I violate this value when. Now that is the most important sentence stem. Because it's trying to get at the, it's not just the issue externally, it's the issue beneath the issue, it's the value underneath it. And that's the core of it. And then number eight is, I'm willing to do, and I'm not willing to. And you begin to fill those sentence stems out, like, wow. And then number nine, one thing I could do to improve the situation is, and number 10, the most important thing I want you to know is, and then the last two sentence stems are, you know, I think my honest sharing will benefit our relationship by, et cetera. And I hope and look forward to is the final one. But you get the drift of this ladder and these stems. What they do is they help you clarify what's going on inside of you. So let me just give you two brief examples. And what's interesting, I just used this recently. I mean, I've used it twice in the last month with myself in my own journaling. And it was so incredibly clarifying. And what I thought the initial issue was, and even the person with whom I had the issue, was not. And in one case, I don't need to say anything to the person. And the second, I am going to go to a person and talk to them about it. But it helped me not blame. And one of the ways you know you're ready to talk to somebody and climb the ladder of integrity is it's not about this other person. It's really about you. Just a tremendous tool. So here's an example that actually is in the relationships course under the session of Climb the Ladder of Integrity. And it's actually on video. And I would encourage you at some point to watch it. It's a great video. But here's what happens. Phil was on staff at our church, New Life Fellowship, and one of the pastoral staff. And he was in charge at the time of the baptismal service of each of the three Easter Sunday services. And he had an executive person, Myrna, who was responsible for scheduling the people to get baptized at each of the services. It was a busy weekend, of course. It's Easter weekend. And on Saturday morning, Phil gets a text message from his supervisor, who had run into Emily, a 17-year-old girl, the day before at the Good Friday service. And she's all excited about it. She's getting baptized on Sunday. And Phil's supervisor realizes, oh my gosh, Emily is not on the baptismal list for Easter Sunday, and her whole family's coming. So he texts Phil and says, hey, Phil, follow up on this situation. Emily and her family are coming to get baptized on Sunday. And then Phil, that's when Phil realizes that her name is not on the list as well, and that his executive assistant did not put her name on the list. She missed it. Her name was Myrna. So it's Saturday. It's Phil's Sabbath. He's also with his wife. And what was supposed to take 5 minutes ends up costing him 5 hours. He does resolve it. She gets baptized, but he's very frustrated by the experience. And now Myrna, his executive assistant, who's responsible for getting the name straight and missed Emily's name, he sees her. They see each other on Easter Sunday. And Myrna says to Phil, Phil, I'm really sorry for what happened. And Phil says, it's not a big deal. It's okay. And that's it. And so what's so amazing about this is we ended up talking to Phil about it because he was really bothered by it. And we said, Phil, you need to do a ladder of integrity about what happened there in that issue. And he begins to process his thoughts and his feelings on paper. We begin to coach him with it. because it's not with his executive assistant that he has the issue with. Basically, it's with himself. And so he goes through this process, and he eventually talks to her face-to-face. And so he goes through the 12-sentence stems. He does it multiple times. And he actually approaches her then. Now, at this point, it's a couple of months later. And he says to her this, "Myrna, I appreciated that you apologized for your mistake around Emily's baptism. I told you then that it was okay and no big deal." And I'm going to summarize it to you. He basically says, "What's so significant is I lied to you. It was a very big deal because what I said, what I thought was only going to take 5 minutes, took 5 hours, and it ruined my Sabbath, and it also ruined it was our 1 year anniversary as a married couple." And he says, "I'm telling you this because it so disturbed me that I wasn't honest. I brushed it off like it was nothing. And what grieved me and scared me the most was how easily I could lie to you." And he says, "As I reflected on this, I realized how much my South Asian culture," he's South Asian, "how much we avoid difficult conversations, even if it destroys relationship. So I want to ask your forgiveness, Myrna, for not being honest with you and pretending that all was fine when it wasn't," and et cetera, et cetera. "You know, I'm committed to our relationship. I'm committed to growing in this. I respect you, and I look forward to a great future together." It was really beautiful. But what started out is he had been so mad. "Myrna, you stink. You, as an executive assistant, you made so many mistakes," and just carrying all this anger. He took that tool, climbed the ladder of integrity. He got in touch with some deep issues he needed to grow in and mature in as a leader. We as a leadership helped him grow through that. He did need some discipleship in it, especially on a high-level issue like this. And he was on pastor on staff. And if he didn't learn this, what was going to be his long-term future? But it was a powerful and the beginning of some really significant life change in him. And he was a new staff at that moment. And it really made a difference. Let me give you a second example. This is from Jessica. She also was on staff, administrative staff, responsible for all the ushers and greeters and all the background stuff that goes on around three Sunday services administratively. And she was told by her supervisor that a change had been made, that basically the key person in the office was no longer going to be available on Sundays, that they were going to now be on the worship team, and period. And they told Jessica, he told Jessica, and Jessica said nothing. But she was very upset about it because it was going to have a real impact on her because she's juggling so many details and so many people, 60, 70 volunteers, and she didn't say anything. And so what grew inside of her was resentment and anger. And so she then took the ladder of integrity, those 12 sentence stems, and began to work with them personally and then again with us to help her get in touch with what's the value beneath her anger and frustration and being bothered, until she finally went and approached her supervisor to talk to him. Now, again, by this time, if you're walking in integrity, it's not about blaming other people, it's about yourself. So she was able to go to him and say, "You know, I want to apologize." And she too asked for forgiveness for carrying around all this anger and resentment. And she shared about, you made this decision was made, but I didn't ask any questions. I didn't go back to you. It happened at this point when she went to him, it was 7 months later. And she said, "I made a number of assumptions about you. That you were just like my parents and the authority figures I grew up with, emotionally unavailable, petty, distant, arbitrary, overwhelmed. You didn't care." And then she went and told him her whole story of her upbringing and not asking questions, et cetera, et cetera, and just being angry and frustrated. And it's interesting. She says, I was so important. It's so important that I grew up emotionally because this is around authority and I'm 46 years old, but yet in this area, when it comes to having freedom to ask questions to those in authority, I function like I'm a 12-year-old. And I really do want to grow up. And please forgive me for not being honest. And she was very broken by it. It was very powerful. And the guy was great, and they had a great discussion about it. I think they sorted it all out. But the ladder of integrity was about her, Jessica, just like it was about Phil. It wasn't about just the decision that was made. That was just, in a sense, the presenting problem. So this ladder of integrity tool is so powerful because these are mentoring, discipling, maturing moments for developing leaders. And again, the skill is not about confronting another person. The skill is about getting clear within yourself. That's why this tool is so powerful. And it's not uncommon to go up the ladder of integrity several times to make sure all hints of blaming have been removed. Then you know you're ready to talk to the other person, if you want to talk to them at all, because sometimes you're not. So what's interesting in my case, and I encourage people to do this, I do it as in a context of prayer. There's a little worksheet that we use with these 12 stems, and I fill it out, and I come back to the next day, I fill it out again, and until I have a sense of it being done, and it could be, you know, multiple times, until I feel such a sense of freedom and joy and clarity. It's like the fog lifts, and it's such a wonderful feeling, and again, it's a growing moment. And again, you can use this ladder of integrity in so many situations. I've used it in our marriage with Jerry, in parenting with our kids, with staff at our church. And you know, a friend of ours was recently asked to assume a big responsibility as a volunteer in a Christian organization. And normally she'd just say yes out of guilt, and because the need is so great. But she went up the ladder prayerfully of integrity to sort out why was she feeling uneasy about it. And she got clear about her values, and it became clear to her that if she did it, she would violate her own value of self-care. It'd be too much for her. And just even quality time with her children and grandchildren. And it led her to say a simple, healthy no, which she did. No, thank you. And it wasn't necessary for her to tell the whole backstory of her values and process. But it was even a situation like this, she got clear within herself. Now, again, Jesus is our great model of integrity. And he was able to do that and resisted the temptations and the voices around him. Didn't get reactive. He didn't wander off the clear path the Father had laid out for him. Listen, I wouldn't be here today on this podcast talking to you if Jerry had not gotten clear on her values and integrity. This is what enabled her to come to me in January of 1996 when I was lead pastor at New Life Fellowship Church, and she said, I quit this church. And it was an awful moment for me, and it felt like a crisis and a disaster. But God used it profoundly to change my life. Jerry's integrity forced me to look at where I was not living in my own integrity. Things like where I was saying yes when I wanted to say no, where I cared too much what other people thought, where I was over-functioning, where I sometimes exaggerated things so I'd look better. And it drove me to God in an incredible way and radically transformed me, our marriage, our church. And it really resulted in the birthing of what we call today emotionally healthy discipleship, which is now being used around the world. You see, when you find your integrity, everyone around you experiences a newfound freedom as well. We've seen it again and again and again. So let me encourage you. You want to pick up this emotionally healthy relationships course. And again, it's got a workbook. It's got a DVD. You need a DVD, and you'll see actually the story of Phil on it. And a daily office book. So it's a workbook, a daily office book, and a DVD. And let me encourage you to get it from our website, since all profits go to us. I don't have a need for you to buy it personally, but it is a tremendous tool to master as a leader, not just for yourself, but to serve the people around you that you're trying to grow into a healthy team. And I talk about it in the leader book, how that is used. So how do you untangle something so deep? Let me just close with a couple of thoughts here. Because untangling all those conflicting, difficult emotions is no small task. So first of all, you do need space. Space to allow God to, in a sense, uncover your true self. In other words, God's, he's transcendent. He fills the universe with his power. But when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. That's why silence and solitude is so key, because you need space to actually reflect and to be. And journaling is a tremendous tool. Writing, it just brings things out that don't come when you're just in your head thinking it. And it gives you a chance to lay aside just all your roles you're in and listen to that Christ inside of you. And that's why silence and daily offices and all is so important. And again, the most important leader for you to lead is yourself. And allowing Jesus to change you will change everybody else. And solitude and stillness enables our souls to come out and show up. And I find as I grow as a leader, I'm finding I need more and more time alone to reflect and listen to God inside of me, especially around issues that bother me, around integrity. And I find God's got a lot to say. So that's number one. How do I entangle this and grow in my integrity? space. Secondly, I think suffering's a part of that. I mean, every time I've grown in my integrity as a person or differentiation, and they're not synonymous, they're different, but they're related, it has come through suffering. It's painful to do this kind of work, climb the ladder of integrity. It's just hard. I'd prefer to just sweep it under the rug, ignore it, gossip or triangle with another person than actually do that work. It has rightly been said that there's always great suffering to come into true self, and I believe that's true. I don't know who said it originally. I know Rohr has said it, but many others have said it through history. There's always great suffering to come into true self, and that's true. And then finally, there's a place to get untangled. You do need some safe community. And sometimes you got to create it outside of your organization. For Jerry and I, it's been in the form of spiritual directors or therapists or trusted board members. We all need a mature, supportive community that's not trying to fix or save us, but trying to help us hear God. And, you know, I would actually encourage you in the process of doing this ladder of integrity that you actually confide to a mature friend, not in a gossip way, but to help make sure you've got all the blame out of that. Remember, God's a divine archaeologist, you know. We're like as Thomas Keating has talked about in his books, over time we're like a Middle Eastern tell, archaeological site, where there's level upon level upon level in history, and the Holy Spirit digs through the layers of our lives to get at our true self at the center of who we are. And he says the spiritual journey is not a success story or a career move. It's rather a series of humiliations of the false self. And the ladder of integrity is one tool to get rid of our false selves and be true to ourselves in Christ. And especially if you're influencing others as a leader, how much more do you want to make sure that you're walking in the highest level of integrity possible? So let me invite you to join me next Thursday, July 26th, if possible, for a live stream training that I'm doing on how do you lead the EH Emotionally Healthy Discipleship course with other people in your ministry, in your church. It's from 1 to 4:30 p.m. You can do it anywhere in the world where you are, but it gives you a chance to get trained on how to actually bring this to other people. And again, our passion is the church. Our passion is seeing the church become places where people are deeply transformed by Jesus. We're creating discipleship-making cultures. People are being developed in our organizations and our ministries on all levels. And these eight tools of part two of the discipleship course are so powerful and life-changing. So I look forward to seeing you there. God bless you, everybody. It's been a pleasure to be with you. And again, at the end of your life, God will not ask you, why were you not, as Rabbi Susia said, God will not ask you at the end of your life, why were you not Moses? Why were you not Jeremiah? Why were you not so-and-so? God's going to ask you, why were you not you? And may God give you the courage to be yourself and to be courageous enough to step out without fear and walk with integrity, then thus free everybody around you. God bless you, everyone. It's been great to be with you. Look forward to seeing you again soon.